God is the truth. And he said that Jesus came to set the captives free. You can read that in the word for yourself. Jesus came to set the captives free. So you can go free right now in the name of Jesus. Take God at his word. Say the name. We need to take God at his word. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. And if he said it, he'll do it. And if he spoke it, saints of God, he'll bring it to pass. Don't be deceived by the devil. Just like God is the truth, Satan is a liar. And the Bible says he's the father of all lies. I want you to know, our God is an awesome God. If he said he will, do it. If he spoke it, he will make it good. Then we have to just believe that. Just believe that. We have the nature of God. You know, when he tells us truth, and we lie not against the truth. We can't lie against it. Don't let Satan try not to lie against God. We know what spirit we are of. You know? And we want to go to Elisha 55, and we're going to read 7 through 11 for you. Elisha 55, 7 through 11. So if you have your Bible, take your Bible up and begin to read with me. And he says, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, all you got to do is when you find out you made a mistake, just go to God, forsake your evil ways, forsake your evil thoughts, repent, and God will abundantly pardon you. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. See, saints of God, we want to put our ways in place of God's ways. We want to lean to the left and to the right to let the homosexual have a free pass and not be upset when you say homosexuality is wrong. And the liar, when you say all lying is sin, they're going to be cast into the bottomless pit. God is not going to let a liar tarry in front of him. He's going to say, keep them moving. And see, when we fail to tell people these things, just because it seems harsh to them now, how much harsher is it going to be when they end up in the belly of hell? That's the harshest punishment you can have. So we need to tell people the truth. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but washes the earth, and waters the earth, and make it grow, make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, this is what the word of God does. To the rain and the snow that come from heaven, his word is coming down in abundance. This Bible is 66 books. It's coming down in abundance. And if we go ahead on and plant that word in them, the Bible said it will come forth, it will bud, and it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And he said, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which pleases, whatever pleases him. He said, it will accomplish that which I please, not what you please, and it will prosper in the things that I have sent it. That's what he said. God's word is going to prosper. Whatever he sent it to do, if it's to heal, if it's to deliver, if it's to set free, whatever God sent his word to do, it will prosper. So saints of God, let's remember this lesson, and let's remember what spirit that we're of. We are of the spirit of God. We are of the truth, the only truth. We're not of the lies of the devil. So let's stop telling lies. Stop having these bad communications with people that lies. Because when you hang around with people that lies, the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. So saints, we want to know that we're of God. We want to know that we're of the truth. So we will always tell the truth. And we want to know, saints of God, you know, we want to know that we have the nature of God. And this is where we're going to leave it, and we'll pick up next week where we left off. Amen and amen.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
you died to save man. The tree.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in his presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Jesus, the pattern for our perfection. Jesus, the pattern for our perfection. Why don't you help me preach this by turning to your neighbor and saying, neighbor, pastor is talking today. About Jesus, the pattern for our perfection. If you believe he is, come on, give him praise in the house. One of the interesting things about a pattern is a pattern shows you how to become something out of nothing. A pattern has all the necessary marks, all of the necessary instructions, all of the things necessary to cause the end product to look like the pattern itself. One of the things that I love about this word, and I refer back to it often because I love the writings of the book of Hebrews, because it is so geared toward Jesus in more ways than one and reveals so many wonderful things about him. We could study the book of Hebrews all year long and never really, really get into the profundity of what this book is all about concerning Jesus. But I want you to see this, because when we look at the writer of the Hebrews telling us looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want you to recognize that it's important to recognize the first word, looking, is so important, because when you are looking, it means that you're giving constant consideration to the pattern. Every time you follow the pattern and you complete one part of the pattern, guess what you do? You look back at the pattern. And then you go on to the next part. And when you get to that part and complete it, guess what you do? Look back at the pattern. And then when you go on, you keep, here it is. You do not stop looking at the pattern until you have completed it to perfection. And my brothers and sisters, this is how the writer of the Hebrews says that we should look at Jesus. Looking unto Jesus continually, constantly, always keeping our eyes on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author. The word author here means example or pattern. The word author means example or pattern. So He's not only the author, the example, or the pattern of our faith, but He's also the finisher. The word finisher means perfecter. He's the perfecter of our faith. But Jesus also is the perfector of our perfection. And we need to recognize that He is the standard by which all others are judged. He is the measuring rod, again, by which all others are measured. He is the one that all others look up to. Jesus is the pattern. Now, I want you to understand something, because as we walk through this, I want to go through it and help you understand what is it in this text for us today. Well, if I asked many of you, how many of you are saved, you'd raise your hand and say, I'm saved, Pastor. But if I asked many of you, how do you walk this walk and talk this walk talk to get to glory, not many of you can give me a detailed perspective of how you're going to do it. Now, Jesus has said, I am the way, John 14:6. And what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we know that if we want to get to the Father, Jesus knows the way there. Not only is He the pattern, but He's the path. He's the path. So when we follow Him, we know that He knows where He's going. And if we follow Him who knows where He's going, we will go to and reach the place of our desire, heaven as our heavenly home. But He's not only just become the pattern and shown us the path, but He's also provided us a home there. A home in heaven. And it's important to recognize that He says in John 14:1, what? Let not your heart be troubled. Now listen to this. Now this is important, because a whole many reasons why we miss the mark is because we're suffering from troubled hearts. and we don't know how to get relief for our troubled hearts. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus makes clear again. Why? Because he has prepared a place for us in heaven, and he's coming back again so that when he comes back, he can get us and bring us there to the place he's prepared for us. He said, listen, I ain't trying to fool you. If it were not so, I would not have told you. And if you believe me, then you'll know that's been provided for you. So if it's been provided for you, part of my job is to cause you to follow both the pattern and the path to get to your possession. Now let's go back, because I want you to see, it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Faith. Faith. Jesus is the example or the pattern and the perfecter of our faith. 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 In other words, every time our faith needs anything, it ought to just simply look at Jesus. If we get weak in our faith, we need to look to Jesus. If we mess up in our faith, we need to look to Jesus. Why? Because he is perfect in every aspect of faith. He will show us what we need to do right. He will show us what we are doing wrong. He will give to us everything our faith needs to develop and become defined into what he wants it to be. Listen, the Bible says without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, your faith every day needs to look to Jesus to be able to strengthen itself, fortify itself, build itself up, check itself out. When you look at your faith and look at Jesus's faith, you can see what your faith is missing. You can see where your faith needs to grow. You can see what your faith needs to know. How? By looking at the author and the finisher of our faith. So Jesus is that. And then we start off with that because that's what you need to get this journey started. Got to have faith. Romans 12:3 tells us he's given every man the measure of faith. You got it. You got it. You got it. Question is, what you doing with it? What you doing with it? All right, so notice what the word says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, point two, not only must you have faith, but you must have focus. Who for the joy that was set before him? Now listen at this, because I need you to understand, the joy that was set before Jesus was you and me and every person who would accept him as their Lord and Savior. He focused on them hanging on the cross. Can I tell you what he didn't focus on? The enemies. He didn't focus on the pain. He didn't focus on the problems. He didn't focus on the naysayers. He didn't focus on the haters. He didn't focus on the crowd that meant him no good. He focused on the joy. You know what the joy is? His why. The reason he was doing it. Now, if the author and finisher of our faith is teaching us how to hold on to our faith and then focus in on our joy, he's trying to show us how to be everything we ought to be and how to run this race and win. The joy of the Lord, you got it, brother, is our strength. His strength came in when he began to focus on the fact that when this is all over, I will have pleased my Father, purchased the blood with my blood, those whom he loved and are called to him, and this life will be spent in eternity together with all God's children. He kept focusing on the joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Because I'll tell you this, if he steals your joy, he steals your strength. Man, there's nothing worse than a sour saint. Can't smile, no joy. Look at you funny, look at you twisted up. Look at you like something's wrong with you when the problem is them. No matter what good you tell them, they find something bad to say about it. Just sour. Look at your saint next to you, see if they sour. They might try to put on a little fake smile, but it's hard to smile through sourness. The Bible teaches us that laughter, a merry heart, doeth good, like a medicine. God wants you even, listen at this, while you're going through the worst times of your life, to focus on your joy. Focus on your joy. Because if the devil can steal your joy, again, he steals your strength. And you've got to know how to fight the enemy. Our author and finisher is showing us. So point number one is the author and finisher shows us about faith. But the author and finisher shows us about focus. Now again, he goes on in this same word, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, what does the rest of it say? That was set before him. What else did he do? Endured the cross, despising the shame. He shows us if you keep your faith and if you keep your focus, you'll keep your fight. His fight was, listen, with Satan himself. His fight was with Satan. His fighting wasn't with you, it wasn't with the Roman soldiers, it wasn't with the Jewish people, it wasn't with all these other people. His fight was with Satan. He shows us how to know who we are fighting against, what we are fighting against, and keep our focus where our fight is. light is. Why? Because Jesus teaches us through this the joy that was set before him was us. He kept the joy in place, in focus, but he kept the fight as well in focus. Why? Because without the fight, the joy would not be a reality. What are you fighting for? What are you focused on? What is your why? How does your faith strengthen you for the fight? Because if it ain't strengthening you for the fight, what is it strengthening you for? The enemy every day and in every way is trying to take the joy of the Lord from you, to take your focus off of Christ. Because if he does, you're going to run into a situation where you don't know which way to turn, don't know what to do, don't know how to handle it. And if you're not looking unto Jesus, that's where the enemy will trip you up. How did he trip Jesus up? Here it is, the answer. He didn't. He didn't trip Jesus up. Why? Because Jesus kept the faith, and Jesus kept the focus, and Jesus knew who he was fighting. I don't care who the devil uses in the fight. The fight is not against that person. It's against Satan himself, who's using that person. If he can get you to destroy the person, listen, he's destroying humanity. The very humanity that Jesus came to save. You remember when they were getting ready to go to Jerusalem, they'd do a shortcut through Samaria, and they know the Samarians had no deals with the Jews, and the disciples said, Lord, let's send fire down from heaven and burn them up. They won't act like this, don't want us to come through their town, burn them up. She's like, man, you're missing the focus. These are not the people we're fighting against. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're going through the right place to get where we're trying to go to. God always sends you through a place where your faith and your focus and your fight can help save somebody on the way. You're not fighting just for yourself. You're fighting to help someone else know Christ, live for Christ, be saved by Christ. And so your fight has got to be right. Tell your neighbor your fight has got to be right. It's not the person that's on the side of you. It's not the enemy in the world. It's Satan himself. He may use people, but people aren't your problem. The devil is your problem. And every time the devil tries to defeat you, he tries his first and foremost desire is to mess with your faith. Why do you think in the 22nd chapter of Luke, Jesus told Peter, Satan hath desire to have you, to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Now look at what he says. He prays that his faith fail not. His faith undergirds everything that he stands for, everything that he is fighting for. His faith is the strength of his life. If his faith fails, everything about him fails.